Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Welcome to E-Ticket to Broadway, where Broadway meets Main Street. Here's your host, my pal, David Alpert.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to E-Ticket to Broadway. I'm so thankful that you're tuning in to hear from your favorite Broadway stars talk about how much they love the Disney parks. Are you following us on Instagram? Check it out, E-Ticket to Broadway, where there's photos of our guests at the parks, some quotes, and a lot of Disney fun. And if you like what you're listening to, let us know in the comments. I'm so excited for the guest on this episode. I met him a few years ago at BroadwayCon when he won the lip sync battle, and shortly after that, he landed the role of Evan Hansen on Broadway. He's a huge fan of Disney parks and a great guy. Get ready for Andrew Barth Feldman. Andrew, welcome to the podcast. I'm so happy that you are with me today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited. This is such a great idea.
You know, you and I have been in this Twitter kind of direct message with Leslie and some other fun Broadway folks talking about Disney parks for almost a year.
Yeah, crazy.
And now we get to share it on a podcast.
Delightful.
We have to get this out of the way right away. You are much more a world boy and I'm a land boy.
Yes,
but we are, you know, an example that we can get along.
Exactly.
There's mutual respect.
We are equals in the marketplace of ideas.
That's right.
We are. It's okay. We do respect each other.
Did you? I mean, I know you're from the East Coast. Did you make it to Disneyland at all growing up?
Yeah, I've always been going. I mean, obviously we've gone to World more, but yeah, we've gone to land, and I love land. Like, I have nothing, I have no hard feelings against land. I don't know, I just think World, it's just more, you know? Like, there's just more stuff.
There is. I mean, the first time I went was in 2012, and, like, when I went to Epcot, I was very in awe that, oh my gosh, there's so much more to see and do here than I ever expected.
Yeah, it's amazing. But I completely understand where you're coming from as well, because land is magic. They're both magic, but
they are.
Land is wonderful, yeah.
So before we start the interview, I think what our listeners most want to hear as our favorite ghost host, would you be willing to recite any part of the Haunted Mansion ride?
Yeah, let me think of... I'll do this little... do not pull down on the safety bar, please. I will lower it for you. And then there's something else. But then, the spirits will only materialize if you keep your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the vehicle at all times. Oh, yes, and no flash pictures, please. We spirits are frightfully sensitive to bright lights.
That's so good. Did you ever consider, like, one night during Dear Evan Hansen, just going into that at some point?
Probably. There was probably a moment where I was like, oh my God, I just almost said the Haunted Mansion, like, in the middle of Words Fail.
In the elevator, when I worked there, a friend of mine said the best thing to do is when everyone is screaming and then it's suddenly quiet to just shout out, Star Tours, what are you doing here? Just to see the reaction. And it was always delightful. Is Haunted Mansion your favorite ride?
Yes. I know
that
it's...
Has it always been?
No. I don't really know when it happened. I actually used to be very scared of it when I was little.
Sure.
But, because of course it's, you know, little boys, you're scared of things, and that's right, is maybe scary. But it not always, I don't think. But when I started thinking about it as more of an art form, I think that ride sort of immediately came to mind. And there's this book, which is my favorite book ever. It's The Haunted Mansion, Imagineering a Disney Classic. And it goes into the history of how the ride was made and all of the iterations of it around the world, and it's amazing. It is so insightful and so fascinating.
Did you love the movie, the Eddie Murphy one?
You know, I did, and I revisited it recently, and I loved it again. Like, obviously, it has its issues, but it was one of my favorites growing up. What a fun idea for them. Like, yes, that movie could have been so cool, and I really wish the Guillermo del Toro movie got made, but Eddie Murphy movie's great. It's fun, you know? I mean, it's obviously not everyone's cup of tea, because it's just silly, so you have to sort of turn your brain off for it. But yeah, it's wonderful, sure.
I mean, what I love about The Haunted Mansion is, you know, the two different kind of design feels, the first part being much more, you know, scary and eerie, and then the second part being a little more fun. And I definitely think the Eddie Murphy movie went for the second part, you know, the ride. It's more fun, it's silly, yeah, as you said.
But it has its moments of horror, and that's wonderful.
What I love, too, about Haunted Mansion is, like, the stretching room came out of necessity, you know, to figure out how do we get people,
yep,
you know, under the berm. And I think that's so cool.
It all, you know, it all kind of did, because it was this thing of, the reason why I got so delayed was because it was this thing of having to appease everyone and what everyone wanted it to be. So what you said about, like, half of it being fun and half of it being scary, that's the result of two different Imagineers having their fingers in it and saying, like, I think it was Mark Davis and Rolly Crump, if I'm not mistaken. I know both of them were involved. I don't remember if those are the two Imagineers that sort of took the lead, I'm pretty sure. But those Imagineers saying, we want it to be this, we want it to be this, okay, let's just do both. And originally, there was this whole pre-show called the Museum of the Weird that some people know about, some people don't, that just had, like, a bunch, it was almost like the Adventurers Club. Like, it was just, like, a bunch of weird stuff. And the only person who really wanted it was Walt Disney. So when Walt died, they were like, oh, great, we don't have to do this weird idea now. and they went ahead with the whole other thing. But it went through so many different phases of development. It was originally a walkthrough, even. And, yeah, what they ended up on was so brilliant.
I was going to say, I remember as a kid, like, walking through the hallway after the stretching room, you know, on my way to the Doom Buggy, and, like, knowing as a kid, okay, I know it's not storming outside, but I think it is. Like, I couldn't quite process...
Yeah, what was happening.
...that effect, which I just think is the Disney magic.
Yes.
Have you been on... you know, the Nightmare Before Christmas overlay?
Yeah, it's incredible. Oh my God, we whenever we're there during that, it's only been like twice, we go on it at least like twice a day, pretty much just for the Jack Skellington animatronic in the graveyard. That's one of my favorite animatronics.
Totally.
That animatronic is amazing, and it's so much bigger than you think it's going to be. It's so good. Yeah,
is a hot take, but I love the overlay, even though I'm Jewish and, you know, I'm just like... you know, Christmas, okay, I think it works out. But it's a hot take because I wish that the overlay didn't start until November 1st. Because when I'm there in October, I want to see the Haunted Mansion proper.
Right.
I don't want to see Christmas.
Well, that's kind of the smart but unfortunate thing about it is that... Okay, is that it's made for Halloween and Christmas because it's Nightmare Before Christmas... Here's what they are sort of realizing, which is true for some people, true for some, not true for some. It's the sort of same principle with the Guardians ride versus the Tower of Terror ride, because they figure as long as there's one, it's fine. Like, people, if you really want to go on the regular Haunted Mansion, go to Florida. Because, like, they could very easily do Haunted Mansion Holiday in Florida, because they do it in Tokyo, and the Tokyo one is a clone of... the world one. So it's clearly very easy and plausible for them to do it in Florida, but they want California to be the place where you go to do Haunted Mansion Holiday and Florida to be the place where you do Haunted Mansion in those months, which is interesting.
You're very wise, Andrew. You're very wise.
Not necessarily. I just happen to know a lot about this very specific subject.
You know, though, for this podcast, you're very wise. You know, this is it. Do you have any, like, early memories of going to Disney World?
Yes and no. I mean, I've been going truly since I was 2 months old, because I'm the youngest in my family. I have an older sister and two cousins who are like brothers to me, so pretty much technically I'm the youngest of four. And they were promised that their lives were not going to change when the new baby came. So the annual Disney trip remained where it was, and I've been going there for as long as I can remember. I've seen a lot of home videos of me as a baby at Disney World, either sleeping or, like, loving the characters. But I didn't really get to go on any rides. And so once I did, I don't know, what do I remember? I always kind of take note of the trees in Tomorrowland. And I always have. I think they're so wonderful and such a fun thing to just think about. Of the mechanics of the tree, I guess, because it's this robotic thing that's made to fold in. That's awesome. You know, it's just such a fun thing, and I hope they kind of stay in this Tomorrowland revamp that we're maybe probably not getting now. But yeah, I don't know. That's always sort of been a little thing of me to sort of have a moment of, okay, I'm here, and sort of let the nostalgia wash over me.
Was there a moment that you realized, you know, as a kid, I know when you were there as 2 months, it wasn't probably then, but when you realized that you loved Disney World more than everyone around you, where it really became something special?
Interesting. It's just always kind of been part of me, I guess. Because when you're a little kid, everyone loves Disney World, you know, and I didn't know the same ins and outs that I do now. I didn't know the same histories and stuff. I just loved it because it's theater. It's theater in its truest form. And so, I don't know. It was always just kind of part of me. I guess probably in middle school was when I started realizing that this was my thing, and I sort of claimed it as my own and used it, used the knowledge and the thoughts that I had to connect with people who also had it, which there were actually a couple in my school. I had a good friend in my school who loved the parks, and we would often go together because we'd just end up going at the same time. And there was actually a teacher in middle school, my science teacher, Mr. Ebert, who also loved the parks, and the three of us would kind of get together and just talk about any new announcements. And when the expo rolled around, we'd always come together to talk about it all. And that was special. It's something to share with people, which every interest is, but it's something that's developing and changing always. So it's always a great point of connection between people who might have some knowledge about it.
Andrew, do you have any traditions when you go to Disney World?
Traditions? I mean, we always do weird photos. I think everyone always does weird photos, but we always do weird photos. Like, we get on a ride and they're like, okay, what are we going to do? And then we do something dumb. So that's one. Oh, man.
Do you have a favorite, like, Splash Mountain on-ride photo?
Okay, so there's one of me. I'm on Splash Mountain by myself, and...
Like, the entire... You have the whole log
no,
by yourself?
No, but I wasn't with anyone.
You and some strangers.
And it's just me, like, I don't even remember what face I was making, but the lineup of people behind me is incredible. And I can't really... It's not something I can really describe without you seeing the photo, but... It's just this very strange cast of characters in the log behind me.
I love those photos of the park, and you look and, like, you know, someone has that photo framed on their piano, and they're like,
"I always think about
that."
That we're making this dumb face on Splash Mountain, and that's gonna be framed in somebody's house. Like, that's what's so great about it, is you're part of their memory forever. And what I hope one day is that someone will look, that this is sort of the point of fame that I want to reach in my life, that someone will look back at their photo one day and be like, wait a minute, is that in our, is that Andrew Barth Feldman? That's what I want. I'm not there yet.
I want
but
that
that's
for
the dream.
You. I really want that for you. You have to send me that photo and we'll put it on the Instagram and
everyone
can enjoy it.
I will. I have to find it. I think I know where it is.
I think I know the answer to this one, but who is your favorite Disney character?
Like, that you can meet in the parks?
No, not necessarily.
Just, oh, at all?
Sure.
I'm curious as to what you think the answer is, because my answer has always been Stitch.
Well, I think I was going then more for your favorite, like, theme park character.
Oh, Figment.
Yeah, Figment. That's what I thought.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course. He's amazing. But also, DJ Rex. DJ Rex is also up there now.
I love that the three that you've mentioned are non-human, just like a little quirky.
Yeah, who needs the human characters? I don't...
Yeah.
They're fine. They're never the fun ones.
Has Figment ever been someone you can meet in the parks?
So when it started out, you could meet Dreamfinder, and he had a Figment puppet. So that was right. as close as we got. There's never been, like, a walk-around guy dressed as Figment, which I love. And I feel like Dreamfinder actually came out, like, a couple of years ago for some reason. But, yeah, that was what it was when it opened. It was Joe Rohde, actually. Joe Rohde was Dreamfinder.
I love that. That's great.
Yeah.
I think I know what your next Halloween costume might be, though. I think it would be awesome.
What do you, Dreamfinder?
No,
and Figment?
Figment.
Or yeah, just regular Figment? Yeah, that sounds great. I've actually been wanting to do for a long time. I've been wanting to do Muppet Man, which is this thing that they do in the movie, in the 2011 movie, where all the Muppets get in a trench coat and, like, it's all of them in one trench coat. And I want to, like, just put on a trench coat and then you open it and there's a bunch of Muppets inside. I'm trying to figure out the logistics of that.
I think you'll be the coolest freshman at Harvard.
I think it's really going to go over well.
So because this is the overlap of Disney theme parks and Broadway, I have to ask you, what ride do you think Evan Hansen would like the most?
Wow. Flight of Passage, Pandora. It's the nature ride. You need a good nature ride.
Good answer.
That boy loves nature. And I feel like he deserves some tranquility. He deserves to ride on the back of a banshee.
Don't we all? Is there something that you would bring back to the parks that doesn't exist anymore?
Figment. Original Figment. That's what I always say is, let's bring back original Figment or something like it with the state-of-the-art technology that we've come to expect from Disney. I think it would be earth-shattering.
Let's say you're not going to go to college, you're done with Broadway, and you're going to get a job at Disney World. What job would you apply for?
Jungle Cruise skipper.
Oh, solid choice.
I thought about it a lot. I mean, preferably like an Imagineer of sorts. I don't think I have enough ideas or enough expertise in any one area that is necessary, except theater, in which case, yeah, sure. But like, I really want to be a Jungle Cruise skipper that's like really excited about it. Because usually Jungle Cruise skippers are very blasé about the whole thing, which is fun. But I want to switch it up and be a Jungle Cruise skipper who's really excited because it's his first day on the Jungle Cruise. And he doesn't really know what he's doing. And he's just doing his best.
Do you have a favorite, you know, joke from the Jungle Cruise?
I used to deliver the Niles and Niles and Niles joke. But I just love how much it changes. I love that every Jungle Cruise skipper puts their own spin on it. It's so fun. There was one.
I mean, Schweitzer Falls.
Backside of Water is incredible. Dr. Albert Falls also incredible. There was this one Jungle Cruise skipper I had recently who just like, instead of delivering any of the jokes, set them all up and then just like totally dropped it. Like set up all the jokes and then the punchline was just like not the joke, which was brilliant and was very much my sense of humor, as people who watch Broadway Jackbox will know.
Every time I'm on that ride, I always have to plug my ears for the shotgun.
It's loud.
It's just so scary to me. Especially when you're getting in the boat and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so close to that skipper. It's a trigger for me. I can't do it.
Yeah, I don't really know why that still needs to be there. There isn't really any reason. It's not very, it's not great.
Yeah, I think in our culture of trying to limit gun violence, that could go.
Yeah, it's maybe really not a necessity.
Yeah, I think when I asked, like, bring back something that doesn't exist, now the next question was, what should go? And I think that's the answer.
That's a good answer. My answer, though, is Voyage of the Little Mermaid in Hollywood Studios.
Oh.
I love it.
Okay.
But really, that's still there? And it still looks like that? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it needs to be not that. I feel like it needs a reinvigoration or just to be something else, anything else. I want them to scrap that whole area, the Voyage of the Little Mermaid, Star Wars Launch Bay, you know, Disney Junior Dance Party area and put in the Beauty and the Beast ride that's coming to Tokyo, because that looks amazing.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Those animatronics look amazing.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. It's amazing.
Andrew, is there anything that you prefer the Disney World version over the Disneyland version?
Probably most things, but hang on, I need to think about this. I don't know what's in both that's different. Haunted Mansion is pretty much the same.
Pirates?
Pirates is better in land, objectively.
Okay, well, there's that answer.
Yeah.
You like Pirates at land than World. I mean, you know, many people love the World Castle more than land.
I do. I like it better. Yeah.
You prefer fiberglass over brick and stone?
I don't care. It's all show. I like it better because you look at it and you're like, wow. And then you go to the Disneyland one and you're like, oh, all right. You know, it's just kind of...
Yeah, great. Thanks so much for your time. It's been wonderful. Thank you so much, Andrew.
It's just like, it's, I don't know, comparatively, it's just so, it's very small. It's very tiny.
You know, size doesn't matter.
It does a little bit.
Okay. Twitter is exploding right now.
Yeah, they're really not going to be happy with me. That's my big hot take.
We'll be right back. Oh, what's the big idea with these commercials? Oh, is this reminds me.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUPS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUPS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUPSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Okay, Andrew, we are ready for our next section, which is called Fast Pass Answers.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to give you 30 seconds, and the clock will start after I ask the first question. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
In 3, 2, 1, what is your favorite country in Epcot?
Mexico.
Name a ride in Frontierland.
Big Thunder Mountain.
What's your favorite Disney movie?
Onward.
Name a Disney character with royal blood.
But Aurora.
Favorite snack in the parks?
Dole Whip.
Favorite Star Wars character?
If Captain Rex counts, Captain Rex.
Favorite parade or show?
Finding Nemo the Musical.
Time.
Ah!
That was exciting. What was your final answer?
Finding Nemo the Musical, if it counts.
Oh, sure. It counts. It definitely counts.
Maybe one of my favorite musicals of all time.
Do you have a dream role in the show?
Marlin, one day. I don't think I could do Crush. It would be amazing, but I don't think I could do it. And what a great track, too.
Put on your thinking ears. It's trivia time. Oh, boy.
Okay, here is your trivia question of the day.
Oh, no.
I think it's funny because we've been kind of talking about it.
Okay.
So within 20 feet, how tall is Cinderella's castle?
Oh, God. I don't know how tall things are. I don't know how to compare heights of things. So I'm going to say, isn't it like 100-something feet? Is that terrible? Is that completely wrong?
Can you be more specific?
I feel like it's like 101 feet or something. Like, it's something very, very specific.
Well, it is specific because it's
feet.
Well,
yeah, it's a number.
So is your answer 101 feet? Like Dalmatians?
Sure.
Great. Unfortunately, you didn't get it correct.
Yeah.
The answer is 189 feet.
You know what? I knew that. I knew that that was the answer.
No.
And there's really no reason for me to say that.
Now let's hear from some of you. Huh?
Andrew, we opened up social media to some fan questions.
Wow.
So we're really excited. There were an overwhelming amount of questions. I think people love that you love the Disney parks.
That makes me so happy because I love that I love Disney parks.
Yeah. So let's start with an easy one. Caitlin wants to know, green milk or blue milk?
Blue milk.
Okay.
Easy.
For those that have not been to Galaxy's Edge, they are scratching their heads right now.
Yeah, they're like, what? Milk we're talking about? Yeah, it's the fruit drinks. All the drinks are fruit in Galaxy's Edge. Great.
Danny wants to know, what cast member costume do you wish you could wear?
Wow. I mean, I'd love to do a Galaxy's Edge costume because they get to pick. That's awesome. But also probably like Tower of Terror. I think I could rock the bellhop situation.
You know, I think I would go with Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Like the khaki and the hat. There's a photo on the Instagram page of me in my Autopia costume circa 2005, and it's not attractive.
Incredible.
Okay, so both AJ and an account that is called Evan Hansen, naturally, asks, what Disney movie do you think should have a ride of its own?
I've been so into Onward. I love Onward so much. Not so much a ride. I think it would have an incredible just like land, like an amazing little area of New Mushroomton. I think that'd be amazing. But I can't believe I'm blanking on other answers to this question because I definitely have them. I don't know. It's always tough because I always want there to be new rides. I love the IP rides. But like, I never watch a movie and think, imagine that ride. But actually, that's so not true. And I totally do. So I think my answers are going to be Onward and Treasure Planet.
Oh, yeah.
Like a boat.
Treasure Planet.
Space boat ride. That sounds awesome.
Lexi wants to know, if you could only go on one ride for the rest of your life, which one would it be?
I mean, that sounds terrible. But
it does.
I guess Haunted Mansion from like an academic perspective. Like, I'd want to study every inch of that ride.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe that's my answer.
Another one of your fans, James Snyder, asks, what is your go-to food spot in terms of value, dining experience, and lack of crowds?
Wow. Thank you, James Snyder. I hope you're well. I don't know who you are. And I don't know, is my answer Crystal Palace?
I think it is.
Might be Crystal Palace. There are usually crowds, but the experience is so good, the food is so good, and it usually is not that like crowded inside. It's just the wait outside is a lot. So I think Crystal Palace might be my answer. I also love the Jungle Cruise Skipper Canteen. I don't love the food so much, but that whole vibe, I think we should do more themed restaurants. I want a Haunted Mansion themed restaurant stat.
I just love this podcast already so much.
It's time for some tough choices. Let's play Tweedledee or Tweedledum.
Andrew, our next section is everyone's favorite. It's Tweedledee or Tweedledum. I'm going to give you two choices, and you have to tell me which one you prefer.
Oh, boy. Okay.
It's going to be okay.
You know, I actually, this might not, I, my brother and I, when we just went, we just got back from the parks, and we ranked every ride. We ranked them. We made two lists, one of, like, our favorites, and then one of just, like, objectively which are the best. So, actually, I'm maybe going to pull it up. I'm going to pull it up so that I can reference it.
Yeah, okay. Let me know when you're ready.
Yeah, okay, go for it.
Okay. The first Tweedledee or Tweedledum, Epcot or Animal Kingdom?
Epcot. But that's tough, but Epcot.
Turkey legs or churros?
Churros for me.
Well, yes, this is about you.
Yeah, it's about me. So churros is my answer.
I've actually never had a turkey leg.
I have once, I think.
Yeah. I'm going to save this next one for the end because it might really unravel.
Okay.
Pluto or Goofy?
Goofy. I'm a big Goofy fan.
Yeah, Goofy's great. I mean, the dramaturgical discussion to be had is Pluto and Goofy are both dogs.
It's endless. It's endless. You could go on forever. I know. You know,
we can do a follow-up episode.
It's the implications are horrifying.
Yes, agreed. I just hope that everyone's happy in the Disney Kingdom.
Me too.
And
it seems that way.
That's all.
Except for Donald Duck. It does. That's his whole thing.
Yep. Okay, our final Tweedledee or Tweedledum, Haunted Mansion or Rise of the Resistance?
Okay, if we're talking like preference of my favorite rides, I am incredibly partial to the Haunted Mansion. If we're talking what is objectively the best ride of all time, it's Rise of the Resistance. And Rise of the Resistance is like is third on my list in my personal ranking after Haunted Mansion and Splash Mountain, and it is first on my objective ranking. Because, come on, that's the best ride. That's what it is. That's you look at that and you're like, yeah, there's no questioning that that's the best ride. And all the reviews that came out after were like, we just wrote it a second time and we're not sure it's the best ride, but it's very good. And it's like, no, what could possibly be better than that ride? It's, oh my God, I was going to say it's perfect, but it's not because it's so just like real, like it's perfectly imperfect, but it's also perfect. I don't know. I love it so much. I'm so thankful that it exists.
Do you think that like 25 years ago when Indiana Jones came out, we all thought this is it. This is the be all end all. And now there's Rise of the Resistance. Do you think in 25 years, we're going to say, oh my gosh, this is it?
Undoubtedly. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I love Indiana Jones too. But I mean that's what it is. You know, people thought Carousel of Progress was the peak of technology and it was at the time. You know, like it's always, and in that same way, it is always a carousel of progress and we will progress into new technologies and new ways to use that for storytelling. And I can't wait. I'm so excited and I'm so happy that I'm this young when Rise of the Resistance came out. That I'm going to get to see so much other cool stuff. You know, I'm so thankful for that.
Have you been to Club 33 yet?
No, I've had a couple people who have said they'd be able to get me in, but I haven't been to land yet since all the Evan stuff has happened. So no, have you?
I did. I actually got to turn 33 to the minute in Club 33. And it was the peak of my life, I think.
That's the best thing I've ever heard. I have to do that.
It was really awesome. I was very lucky.
Was that your first time going there? Was that your first time being there?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Did you like eat there or was it just like a tour?
Yeah. No, we had lunch and it was like a 3-hour meal and it was perfect. And I'm not one to get speechless.
Is it amazing? Is it amazing?
Completely dumbfounded. It is. And I think because for 33 years, I had looked through those windows and walked by that door and thought, gosh, one day. And yeah, as you start to hear friends that get to go and it just feels so cool. And, you know, when I'm eating at, you know, Pizza Planet, I'm like, come on, we got to hurry. We got stuff to do.
Yeah.
So you're there for like 20 minutes. But when you're in Club 33, 3 hours had passed. And I was like, I could stay here forever.
That's amazing.
Well, we're all going to go. We'll do kind of the round table Broadway, e-ticket to Broadway podcast at Club 33.
That would be absolutely chaotic. And I think it would be incredible. And I would love, yes, I'm in. That sounds amazing. My bucket list thing is to stay in one of the suites, like the Pirate Suite or the Castle Suite in World. Don't know how to make it happen, but I will. I'm going to.
One more question. Andrew, the next time you go to the parks, what's the first thing you're going to do?
Wow. Probably go to Hollywood Studios at 6 in the morning to get a boarding group. But that's a boring answer. So
No, it's not.
I still haven't done Mickey and Minnie. So probably what I will do is go to Hollywood Studios, get a boarding group, hopefully, and get in line for Mickey and Minnie because I haven't done it yet. And I desperately want to. Yeah, and also say hi to the new friends that I've made who work there, because I was put in touch with some amazing people who sort of helped us out on our trip because we were only there for a couple days, and they're wonderful. The people that work there are just the best people on the planet Earth. So I'm excited to get to visit them again and see them again, and it's just, they really, I don't know how they do it, but those people are the best service workers in the world.
Well, Andrew, that is the end of the episode. Thank you so much for joining and for sharing your love of the Haunted Mansion and Figment and spending some time with us.
Thank you so much for having me. This is the most fun idea ever, and I'm so glad that I got to do it.
So we will see you at the parks.
See you at the parks.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.